There are times in life that could be referred to as turning points because they dramatically alter our lives. I suppose the first in most of our lives is when we go to school. I remember when Linda took Stephanie to kindergarten, and Stephanie went inside the building and Linda stood outside crying. The reason she did so was because she knew that Stephanie would never again be the same little girl that she had been the day before. When she went to college and we left her there, we both cried because we understood that never again would she live in our home in the same way that she had done so prior to that experience. That is a turning point in a person's life. Another turning point in our lives is when we marry. Our lives are dramatically altered from that point on. But probably the most dramatic turning point is when we become Christians, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. We understand that that affects us eternally, but it also affects us presently. I did not fully understand at the time I became a Christian that later God would call me into the ministry and that everything about my life would be affected by that commitment I made to Jesus Christ as a boy. There are turning points in life. And tonight I want to speak to you on the subject of God's call. If you'll take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. I should begin reading in verse number 1. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. As we look at these verses this evening, I want to bring three or four things to your attention. First of all, when a need exists, the challenge is extended. Anytime there is a need, God extends His challenge to someone that they might meet that need. Now the first task, the first order of business is for God to get the attention of the person to whom He is speaking. And God has many attention getters, different ways to get our attention when He calls us. With Moses, He got His attention with a burning bush that was not consumed. That got the attention of Moses. With Jonah, God used a fish to get his attention. with the Apostle Paul, he was on the road to Damascus when he had that experience in which he went blind, but God got his attention. Ladies and gentlemen, God also knows how to get your attention and my attention, though his means are not normally so dramatic. When God called me to preach, he did so with the persistent troubling of my spirit. It was something that I could not explain, nor could I get away from it. I simply knew in my heart that God was calling me to the ministry, and he would not let me go. When God has gotten our attention, then he issues the challenge as he did with Moses. In verse number 10 of our text, he said, "Therefore come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." God said to Moses, "Now the challenge that is before you is that you would be the one to lead my people to freedom, that you would lead my people out of Egyptian bondage and to the promised land." Ladies and gentlemen, just as God had a plan and a purpose and a challenge for Moses, so he also has a plan and a challenge for your life. May I ask you this evening, could it be that God is dealing in your heart and calling you into the ministry? Could it be that God's Holy Spirit is speaking to you about preaching the gospel, about being a missionary, about the music ministry, education ministry, that somehow God is speaking to your heart about ministry? Is God speaking to your heart? Is that a struggle in your life, and God has issued this challenge to you? Or perhaps God is not calling you to be in the ministry in that sense, but he is nevertheless calling you into ministry, into serving. You see, my friends, when a person becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes in to gift us. And the Bible says that those gifts, those spiritual gifts, are to be used to edify, to build up the people of faith. And so there is a place of service for all of us, a place of ministry for all of us. And perhaps the Lord is speaking to you about being a teacher or serving in some form of ministry within the congregation. Or as Steve mentioned this morning, they are trying to enroll 25 new members in the choir. Perhaps God is speaking to you about that. But the point being that anytime there is a need that exists, the challenge is issued. Secondly, when a need exists, the call is extended. And I see a couple of things about the call of God. First of all, there is always a sense of urgency about the call of God. In verse number 10, "Therefore come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh." God said to Moses, "Come now." This is the time, that sense of urgency. When the Lord called the Apostle Paul, there was a sense of urgency. The Bible says in Acts 9, "And immediately he preached Jesus in the synagogue." Ladies and gentlemen, with the call of God, there is always that sense of urgency, whether it's a call to salvation or a call to service. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. But there is always that sense of urgency with the call of God. Another thing I notice about the call of God is that it is based on the sovereign wisdom of God. Bill Benowski was president of the University of Oklahoma. Prior to that, he was president of Pepperdine University. Prior to that, he was pastor of the largest church in his denomination. Bill was a friend of mine. We were having lunch together one day, and I said, "Bill, I can understand how you went from pastoring a church to being the president of a university of your denomination. But I don't understand how you leave that position to become the president of a state university if God called you to ministry." And he said to me, Wendell, in my church, we do not believe in a mystical call from God to minister. He said it was something that I decided to do. But he said, I believe God needs to call a person to ministry. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Bible says, and no man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God. Ladies and gentlemen, ministry is not a career choice. It is a divine call. God must call one into the ministry. And it was God who called Moses in verse number 10. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh. And from the time Moses was in that basket in the river, God was preparing him with every experience for the ministry. God called him. It was God who called Jeremiah. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 1 about the call of the prophet Jeremiah. Down in verse number 4, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Then I said, alas, Lord God, because I do not know how to speak, because I am but a youth. But if you look at that passage of Scripture, you'll notice that it was God who called Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's call was based on God's divine knowledge. God said to Jeremiah, I knew you. And the word knew that is used there means more than to just be acquainted with. It means to be approved for a task. God said, Jeremiah, I have approved you for this task. And God's assessment of Jeremiah was not based upon what Jeremiah thought of himself. It was based upon what God knew about Jeremiah. God said, I consecrated you. I set you apart. I have set you apart for this assignment. And he said, I appointed you. I have appointed you to be a prophet to my people. It was God who called him, and it was God who sustained him in his task. Jeremiah's ministry was not the most pleasant ministry that a person ever had. The people did not respond favorably to him. In fact, they wanted to kill him. And in Jeremiah chapter 20, Jeremiah went to the Lord, and he said, God, the only reason I did this is because you forced me to. I never wanted to do it anyway. And he said, I want to quit. I want to get out of the ministry. But then he said, but the word of God burned in my heart and I could not stay. Let me say this to you who have surrendered your life to the ministry and to you who are considering the ministry. I believe that it is extremely important that you settle your call. Because I can assure you there will be times in your life when the only thing that will keep you in ministry is the fact God has called you. Nothing else. There will be times when the pressures will be so great and the times will be so difficult. The only thing that will keep you going is that you know in your heart of hearts that this is what God has called me to do. God calls us to the task even though we might not seem suited for our task. When I surrendered my life to the ministry at that time, there were 75 young people who had surrendered their lives to ministry. I was talking to the associate pastor of that church later, and he told me, Wendell, of all those who surrendered their lives to the ministry, I thought you were the least likely candidate. I can understand that. But ministry is based on divine call, not people's opinion. God calls us and then we make excuses as to why we can't do what God has called us to do. And Moses did that. Going back to our text in chapter 4, verse number 10, then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant. for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So when the Lord called Moses, Moses responded, Lord, I have a speech impediment. I can't speak. Lord, I'll bet I know what happened. You were thinking about my brother Aaron. He is the one who is the eloquent speaker. It is not I. And Lord, surely you meant Aaron. And then he said, Lord, I can't do it because I have no authority. You want me to go and speak to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh won't listen to me. He made excuses. Jeremiah made an excuse as to why he could not yield his life to the call of the Lord. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Jeremiah said, Lord, I can't do this. You're calling me to be a prophet, but I'm just a child. I have no knowledge. I don't know what to say. I'm not experienced in these things. He had an excuse. When the Lord called Jonah, Jonah said, God, I've got a trip planned to Tarshish. I can't go to Nineveh. I'm going to Tarshish. When the Lord calls us to service, to ministry, we always have excuses. Usually we appeal to our humility. Lord, I'm flattered, but I'm unworthy. I could not do this. Or, Lord, I just don't have the ability. This is not my area. I have been trained for something else. I'm on a different track than this, and I can't do that. Or we appeal to God, Lord, I'm already doing more than my share now. Moses said, God, you know, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown now. I can't take any more. Elijah said, Lord, I'm the only one doing anything now. You need to get someone else to do it. You see, when the call is extended, excuses are offered. Thirdly, when there is a need, the courage is provided. And it takes courage to answer God's call, but God provides the necessary courage. Moses had a fear, and his fear was natural and legitimate. He felt inadequate. In chapter 3, verse number 11, Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? He said, Lord, I'm inadequate for this. I can't do this. I think he was being honest. That was the same response of Gideon when God called Gideon. Gideon responded to the Lord, Lord, I belong to the smallest tribe in all of Israel. And my family is the least family in that small tribe, and I am the least in my family. Lord, I'm inadequate. That was Moses' response, Lord, I'm inadequate and I have no authority in chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, What if they will say, Believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, The Lord has not appeared to you. There is no reason for Pharaoh to pay attention to me. You want me to go to Pharaoh, but why should he listen? I thought that in my first church especially. As a young preacher, and I looked out over a congregation of believers who were older than I and wiser than I, men and women who had walked with the Lord far longer than I. And the battle that raged within me is, who are you to tell them anything? And I realized I was no one. That's the reason I must rely on the Word of God and not on who I am or who I'm not. Moses said, I have no ability. In chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, Please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since thou spoken to thy servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. He said, I have no ability. I have no ability. I think I've told you this before, but when I lived in Oklahoma City, I had a friend who belonged to the Oak Tree Country Club there. He wanted me to go and play golf with him one day. We went out and played. Ralph was a good golfer. We finished playing. We went back to the clubhouse and sat down. And he said, Wendell, do you want me to tell you what's wrong with your game? And because he was a good golfer, I said, yes. I thought I'd get some help. He said, man, you ain't got no ability. That's exactly the way I felt when God called me into the ministry. Lord, I ain't got no ability. I can't do what you're calling me to do. You see, we have the same fears as Moses. We have the same fears as Gideon. But our fears can be overcome by faith in the one who called us. When the Lord called Moses, he was terrified of the call. But if you study this passage of Scripture, you will note that God answered every fear that he raised. Moses said, first of all, I am inadequate. I can't do it. But if you look at verse number 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And God said, certainly I will be with you. Moses said, I am inadequate. God said, I'll be with you. Moses said, no one will follow me. You want me to go to Pharaoh, but he will pay no attention to me. So in chapter 4, verse number 1, then Moses answered and said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And the Lord said to him, what's that in your hand? He said, a staff. Then he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. And I believe that God was saying to him, I will provide miraculous power to validate your call if that is necessary. Moses said, I am not able, I am not a speaker, I am slow of tongue. So in chapter 4, verse number 11, and the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and even I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. God said, I will enable you to fulfill your call. If God called Moses and enabled him, he will do the same for us when he calls us to service. Whatever that service might be. He has promised us his power. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And ladies and gentlemen, that authority, that power that belongs to Jesus is available to you. He has promised his presence. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The promise of Jesus to those who answer his call is that I will always be with you. I will never send you somewhere and leave you alone. He promises his presence. He promises his provision. In Philippians 2, the Bible says, for it is God who is at work in you, both the will and to work for his good pleasure. It is God who gives us the will to do his will, and it is God who enables us to do his will. Ladies and gentlemen, one plus God equals enough. The courage provided. Fourthly, the commitment expected. God calls and he expects us to respond. Moses committed himself to the call of God. Israel was delivered from Egyptian bondage and God's purpose was accomplished. One of my favorite stories is found in Isaiah chapter 6 where the Bible says that it was in the day of Uzziah's death, and Isaiah entered into the temple on that day, and he said, and there I saw the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Isaiah and said, who will go for us? Isaiah responded, here am I, send me. And he committed himself to God's call. Jeremiah was called by God, and he committed himself to the call. Paul was called by God and he went from being a persecutor of the saints to a preacher of the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a challenge before you. Laborers are needed in the field perhaps as at no other time. And the fields are white to harvest. There are people in Columbia, people in South Carolina, people in America, people around this world who are waiting for someone, anyone to share the gospel with them. It could be that we are at the midnight hour, that hour that precedes the return of Jesus Christ, and people are receptive and responsive to the gospel, if someone will share the gospel. Is God calling you to a place of service? Is God calling you to ministry, to be a missionary, to be a preacher? Is He calling you to be a teacher, to serve in some form of ministry? Is God calling you? And you might say, I think that He is, but I just don't know how I could do it. I understand that. Because when God called me into ministry, I had two children. I was married. I was established in television. And for me to say yes to God's call meant that my entire life would be altered. But God will give you the courage to do what He calls you to do, if you're willing to make the commitment. Alexander McLaren wrote, it was not Erasmus, the polished, learned, scintillating intellect of his time, who made Germany over. It was rough, rugged Martin Luther with a conviction and compassion as deep as life. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what we need today. In the church, on the mission fields, in the pulpit. People who have a commitment to Jesus Christ and a compassion for people. I wonder tonight, is God calling you? Then what will your answer be?